the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
The Huskies got a 2-1. Bring it up across the line. Ian Smith looking in front. Sasha just scores! Missy it! Put it in!
I am a Uper.
They'll flip it up for Reitmeier. He holds it in. Here comes Grayson Reitmeier. He'll shoot! Scores!
I love UP and my heart is hit.
Steven for Missy Ack. Missy Ack. Wrap around attempt. Right to the front of the goal. It's behind him! Scores! Gets it in the net!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93. Brought to you by Dr. Daniel Reminga of the Northern Foot Care Center, State Farm agent Kelly Jepson, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store, the Kaleva Cafe, Peterlin Distributing, Joey's Seafood and Grill, and the Turbo Agency. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, everybody, we are ready to talk Michigan Tech hockey for the next 60 minutes. Head coach Joe Schott braved the snow and weather and all that stuff to get here this morning. We really appreciate that, Joe. It's a lot better when you're actually here in the studio, but we would have accepted you by telephone if we had to.
I enjoyed it. I came home from church last night And actually, I got stuck with my four-wheel drive truck on my main road. Had to didn't have to walk a quarter mile back. Got my snowplow. Laura and I got it out, and we went home. But when I did that, I cleaned out my driveway. So this morning was actually a piece of cake, and then someone went down our road with a plow. So, you know, I want to make sure I say this. We were just talking on the other over with Greek and Mitch. The road crews here. If any of you guys are listening, that is something that totally is taken for granted. The county and the city road crews, the job they do, it's a work of art. And, you know, I was able to get out easy today. Everybody was. The roads look great coming to here. You guys do an absolutely phenomenal job. You don't get the praise you deserve. You don't get probably the thanks and kudos, but I think people should bring them, drop them off donuts, bake them a pie, figure out who these people are and, what a great job. Hats off to you guys. And by the end of the day today, it's going to look like Christmas Eve and everybody's going to be excited. It's going to be, the community's going to be, look great again.
It is crazy how good they are with it. And, just stay off the roads today if you can. If you don't have to be on the roads today, stay off at least till noon and let them get as much cleaned up as they possibly can and get it all ready for us.
Yeah.
Before we get to Tech Hockey, just a couple of announcements. We want to keep everybody updated. St. Vincent de Paul will be closed today. Keweenaw Buick GMC closed today. Keweenaw Chevrolet closed today. Lake Accounting closed. Little Brothers, Friends of the Elderly closed. All the courthouses are closed. That's Houghton, Keweenaw, and Otonagon County courthouses are closed. Michigan Tech is completely shut down. Finlandia University shut down. Northern Michigan University shut down. Gogebic Community College, Copper Country opening up at noon today. And we'll go through all the other announcements a little bit later on for you. But if you have any questions, call 487-3700. Mitch can answer any closing cancellations. We don't have time to go through all of them now. We've gone through them many times, but if you have any questions, feel free to get a hold of us. All right, great weekend for Michigan Tech hockey. Not only a couple of wins, Coach, but it seemed we got better these last two games.
Yeah, I think we've been getting better. We had a hiccup, I thought, for sure. I think my post-game comments, everything reflected that. I thought at Lake State we didn't, with the magnitude of what was on the line there, we took a step backwards. But our mood has been good. Everything's been good. Practices have been outstanding for the last month, you know, 5 weeks. Guys have worked hard and I think guys are getting better. And what we got, what I really enjoyed this weekend is, I think people saw, a little bit more buy-in from the entire group. On a concept, on a standard to our culture, and I think that was reflective, and it came at a really good time.
We got down in game one after a great opportunity generated by Gavin Gould, and I thought he had that extra jump in his step throughout the weekend for the most part.
Yeah, he did. Gavin played well. That line, I thought, starting the second period on Saturday night was everything we could ask out of that line. Smitty's been good for the last. You know, for the last few weeks, he was actually. I thought Smitty was very good at Lake State as well. He's been really good. But I thought that line. I thought they turned a corner a little bit individually. Those guys individually and collectively starting the second period on Saturday and really, second and third period on Saturday were as really complete a periods as we've played this year. We gave up nothing against. They got a 5-on-3 power play goal late in the game on Saturday. you know, a couple calls to make things even a little bit, I think. Certainly penalties, I guess, but they got a goal late. But other than that, the scoring chances against we give up 9 in the first period on Saturday night. We give up 14 in the game. So that tells you how well we played, and we ended up with 31 in the game. So, and we only had 5 in the first period. So it was, I thought the guys played well. We grew a lot, as you said. Our transition game was as good as it's been. We got a lot of offensive zone play. Power play puck movement was efficient. Could have gotten some more goals certainly on Saturday night and driven the nail home, but a lot of good things. But really, I think the main thing that I come out feeling good about is that we're gaining more and more guys on board. You know well, I'll leave it at that.
Okay, and just going back to that 5-on-3 goal for Anchorage, which I thought was a great call by Curley for the psyche of their team to try to break the shutout, which mm-hmm. they did. But it really was 6-on-3 because our guy didn't get back. I think Sawyer right. was coming off the bench to help out. He never got back
yeah.
into the play.
So. Yeah, it was in the books. It's a 5-on-4, but
yeah.
but it was they had the goalie out, and then they had and our player didn't get back into the play. Right. So it was when the penalty ended.
Well, let's take a look or listen to some of the highlights. Here's the opportunity by Gould that did not cash in, and that's what happens so often. We see a great opportunity one way, and then a goal back the other way.
Gould trying to make a play by himself. Gould walking in, makes a move, shoots, and a save made by Stead. What a stop by Stead, and what a great move, and a breakaway back the other way. Renouf is in on a breakaway, and he scores! Renouf walks in and takes the breakaway shot and beat Jerusik. It looks like club side after Gavin Gould had a breakaway himself. Stead made a great save, and we have a 1-0 lead for the Seawolves.
Well, we did get possession right after Gould's opportunity there, and it looked like, I don't know if it was a giveaway in the offensive zone, Coach, that happened? Or
yeah, it was. There were two things that happened there. I'm not sure the mix-up that happened on defense. A player came off. It was a quick transition, and Tyler Rockwell was coming off, and it was Goetze. Didn't get him back on the play in time. Pass up the wall, Seamus Donahue was off the wall. And we almost had the same situation on Saturday night. Todd Killinan came off the wall and the very same thing happened, where we threw it up the wall to him. And then they're trying to scramble to get back, keep the puck in the zone, and they get beat. The puck gets by him. So there were a couple things. It's usually you can get away with the first, we'll call it mistake. You can usually get away with the first mistake in most situations. It's when they're compounded, and they often are compounded. Things happen in chaotic form, you know what I mean? When one thing happens, it often leads to another, and it's those second and third mistakes that usually catch you, and on that one, that's what happened. We got caught.
That goal reminds me a little bit now, and I didn't think about this before, but of the overtime goal by Malcolm Gould against, I believe it was Bowling Green 3 or 4 years ago, where they had a breakaway down against Jamie Phillips. He made an unbelievable save, and then Hannanen threw it up.
Okay.
Because Hannanen turned it over in the offensive line. They come down on the breakaway, would have ended the game. Big save by Phillips, and then Hannanen ended up throwing up for Malcolm Gould. He came down and scored. It was very kind of similar to that. You don't remember it, though, I could tell.
I don't. Was it would have been a regular season game.
Oh,
right?
It was a regular season game. Yeah. But anyway, so 1-0 Anchorage with the lead there, and the Huskies come back on a real nice goal by Jake Lucchini on the power play.
Huskies win the draw again. 10 seconds left to go on the power play. Donahue. Left side for Goetze in the middle now. Here's a shot. Scores! What a play for the Huskies into the middle for co-captain Jake Lucchini, who buried a top shelf left side. And we've got a tie hockey game on a power play goal.
Well, what was so special about that goal? I mean, it just looked like great planning and a great play called up there. Everything worked to perfection. But why was that such a great goal?
Well, they'd set it up prior to that with some movement in a different fashion, and Goetze made a great read. He made a great read in, and I thought Luch did a good job of getting himself in a little bit of a soft slot area, pivoted around the puck well, and then made a good shot under the bar. So the whole play was a good play. I thought our power play movement was tremendous on the weekend, and it was good that we didn't give up scoring chances against. Now again, we did take a couple of penalties on Friday again on the power play. Not sure why that keeps happening. They aren't retaliation penalties. They normally happen on turnovers, where we turn the puck over and are trying to get it back, and teams go down, you know, and they drop penalties, and so we have to We have to get a better handle on that. And really, that comes from better puck movement, better puck management.
Huskies tied the game up 1-1. That was Jake Lucchini, his ninth of the season. Eric Goetz, same as Donahue, getting the assist at the 6:49 mark of period number two. We go to the third period, tied 1-1. And Brian Helen, who's had the hot hand, gets his 11th of the season.
Back to the point. Donahue fakes the shot. He'll send it over now. Donahue with a shot to the goal. Bouncy puck is there. Save feed, rebound, they score! They put in the rebound, and I think it's Hallinan getting the goal. And the Huskies get their first lead of the game with Hallinan's team leading 11th of the season.
And we talked to Seamus Donahue after that game, and you know, he kind of passed off that his assists weren't very impressive. I think they all were very impressive. Faked the shot, sent it in, got it to the goal, and then I thought Bliss did a great job of keeping that puck alive.
Yeah, he did. I like the way that line played. I like the way Jackson played on the weekend. He played, did a tremendous job for those guys. He has a couple of size strength type guys with him. I thought Blisser pursued pucks well, on our forecheck rotationally. We have a couple of young guys that need to, continue to learn the game. They can, as we say, continue to learn to fish so that they can grow in the game. And that's the accountability we're trying to put within them. I think they both have good pro potential. They have size. They have strength. And I'm talking about Bliss and Hallinan, size and strength. And like I said before, we've moved Jackson to center now, two or three games ago now. And he's gone from being, at the lower end of our analytical, statistical analysis to now being at the top end. And, that's just bad coaching. He should have been there, last year and maybe the year before. And he'd just always been a winger with us. You don't want to take a guy like that, a draft guy like that, and put him out of position and things. But I asked him at Lake State have you ever played center? What would you think about doing? I said, I'd love to play center. And that gets him, his speed more involved in the game. He doesn't have to bring the puck back to get his legs going. He's now coming underneath plays so he can catch those pucks, on a secondary phase of the attack where, a wing is giving him the puck instead of him having to go to get that separation. He already has a separation looking up ice and he's just blown by guys now. So, that line is kicking well. Hallinan's obviously been outside of maybe a three, four game skid. And he still has a lot to learn about the game, but he's been an absolutely tremendous performer for us this year. I'd be extremely surprised if he wasn't a first team rookie all league team.
All right. So the score, Michigan Tech 2-1 at that point. Let's take a break. We'll be back with more of the Joe Schaan Hour. Back to the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ on this Monday morning. Well, the Huskies are up 2-1 after Brian Hallinan's goal, but Pears tied it up in the third.
Wave off the icing. The Seawolves have to go back in after it. Huskies able to make that line change now. Brettsman out there. As the Seawolves bring it across, Pears with a shot. Oh, they score! Oh, I don't know what happened there. Jerusik got caught off guard or hit something on the way in, and that went in very awkwardly. And Pears has just tied the game up just like that.
So that tied it up 2-2 in the third period. And, again, we talked a little bit about it after the game, and I had actually talked to Jerusik after I had talked to you, and he said that there was a rut out there, and I don't know if that's what spun him around a little bit or not, but it did look awkward the way he was trying to look like he was trying to blocker it to the corner and spun around a little bit too much and blockered it in. I don't know what you have to
I don't have any comment on it. It was a goal that went in. Something was goofy about it. I didn't ask him, and I'm not going to ask him. Those things happen. I've let in my share of those two.
All right, so the Huskies have it tied up, or the Anchorage ties it up 2-2, but Michigan Tech gets the game-winning goal, and it's a beauty by Jackson.
And so the Seawolves forcing the Huskies all the way back again. 2-2 score, 52 seconds left. Here comes Jackson again. He's in! Shoot! Score! Jake Jackson with that speed! Walked right around the defenseman. Power play goal for the Huskies. 3-2.
We talked a little bit to Jake Jackson after the game on that, and he said that he knew that defenseman could sense that defenseman got caught a little bit flat-footed, and he certainly went around it pretty quick.
Yeah, we're an explosive player, and again, it's fun to watch him play right now the way that he's playing. He's, it's been a battle for him on the year. Jake Jackson has a tremendous heart, And he's a guy that he's not a big talker. So I really respect him because when we're in meetings with, you know, with the leadership group on the team and things like that, when he says something, you know, you have to really take your time and listen to what he's saying because he doesn't say much. He says it in a way that, you know, you can tell that he's on to it, and he never wants to give away too much, you know what I mean? He always wants to look after the others and things like that, but you really listen to him and say, okay, I think I get where he's coming from there. I think that we need to take what he's saying very seriously. So, it's great to see him having some success. He looks right now like he looked last night or last year mm-hmm. during our charge. He's very much engaged in the game. And again, bad coaching, not trying that little experiment. We tried a lot of guys at center. And to be truthful, I did not want to take a draft pick out of position, a player like him and have him and set him back. And really that should have been done a long time ago because he's enjoying the heck out of it. And he makes us a lot better team. Up the middle, and he's a good defender. He's a good defender down low, so big size, strength kind of guy. So he's a big asset to us.
Seamus Donahue gets the only assist on that one. Great vision by Seamus, I thought, on that one to not only see what was happening, but see it quickly enough that he had to get it there when he did.
It was a great play. Yeah. It was a great play. Jacko saw that, like you said, he saw the opening, he saw the seam. He knows if, you know, it's only a split second for him to get by people if he's moving and they're not, because one stride, I mean, he's a speed skater. He's an Olympic type speed skater. He's just explosive. Big lower unit on him. He's explosive. And if he catches people flat footed, like he said, he's by him. So they need to turn very much like, you know, he did last year in the playoffs for us at Mankato.
So the Huskies get the win. They hold on for the victory. 42-14, the final shots. UAA 0-3 on the power play. Didn't even give up a shot on the power play, Coach, which is the penalty killing looking really good right now.
Yeah, it is. Our special teams have been good all year.
Huskies power play 2-4 with 7 power play shots. Jerusik with 12 saves. Stead with 39. But the biggest, the most impressive stat, I think, of the whole night on Friday night was the face-off battle. Dylan Stamen 18-4, Alex Smith 12-4, Marcus Russell 8-2. The Huskies were 42 wins to 15 losses. I don't think I've seen that before. Maybe you have, but that certainly aided us in that win.
That's possession, right? It drives, and we talk about it often. If our power play is moving the puck, well, if we're attacking on the power play and not playing perimeter, and if we're doing a good job on face-offs, on possession off of face-offs, we're engaged in the hockey game, and I think those were two great indicators in the game.
Let's go to Saturday night's contest against Anchorage at the John McKinnis Student Ice Arena. Brian Helening continuing his hot hand as he gets his 12th goal of the season, followed by Alec Bretzman in the second period, getting his 6th of the season.
7:15 remaining in period number one, brought to you by Copper Country Ford. Good action at both ends of the ice here. Good slingshot pass now up the middle. Across the way. Huskies are onside with Blizz. Here comes Helenin. A shot and he scores! Helenin again! His 12th goal of the season. And the Huskies go up 1-0. Taken now by Bretzman, able to get it in deep. Huskies changing up the D. Ford is out there now on the left side. He'll pick it up off the wall. Gets up the middle there for Sawyer. Here's a one-timer. That one in again! Shot taken from the right side for the Huskies. And Bretzman, I think, is going to get credit for the goal. Even though it was redirected in front, the Huskies go up 2-0.
2-0 lead for the Huskies at that point. Nice shot by Brian Helenin, but I thought a great play by Trenton Bliss and Jake Jackson to be aware of where everybody was coming up on that rush, Coach, and then finding Helenin on the wide side, and he just walked right in with a great shot.
Yeah, he can score, can he?
He's
a big, strong guy, and his shot's heavy, so it was great. You know, what I like about Saturday night's game is in the last two periods, we virtually had 30 attempts on goal. Our attempts were virtually 30, 60 for the two periods in those games, and that's generating offense. Again, we want to work on equating those into goals, but it first has to come from consistent offense. And then, as guys are doing that more, it's like anything else. You keep doing it, and then you'll find more comfort in the opportunities you're getting. When your offense is few and far between, you don't get that learning curve. When you're getting those opportunities, that learning curve comes in. Okay, how can I do this? You just naturally figure things out. So that's really what I'm, and I talked about that at the opening of the show here, that generating that offense was really what I was most happy with. While not giving up defense, our offense was coming off of solid defensive play, and that bodes well for us.
We made it a 3-0 score on a great individual effort by Justin Misiak.
Going down awkwardly near the boards. He's okay, though. Picks it up. Centers it in front. Here's a backhand opportunity for Misiak, and he spins around with the forehand. Another wraparound attempt. Another shot, and he scores! Oh, what a play by Justin Misiak! That was all him, and he gets a big goal for the Huskies. 3-0.
You know, I was thinking after that goal, that's a great goal to show junior hockey players, maybe young kids, on what tenacity and stick, you know, to stick with it and stick with the play, never give up. I mean, really, four shots on goal, at least four attempts by Misiak in a span of about 2.5 seconds, and apparently went in.
From each side of the net.
I know.
A couple on each side of the net. And you know what we did? It's actually ironic you said that. We showed some goals, we showed a little highlight film from Tyler Johnson from Tampa Bay, a little 5'7" player that couldn't make Omaha in the USHL, and all of a sudden shows up in, I think, Spokane in the WHL, the Western Hockey League, leads the WHL in scoring, ends up going and being a tremendous player for Tampa Bay, but he's a small guy that scores any way you want to score, and several of his goals were just like that. Whack, 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 you know what I mean? Knocking down a big defender and, you know, creating some time and space, like just jamming up into a big defender, surprising him and getting, you know, pushing him away, and then a puck comes free to him, things like that. And there probably about four or five of those goals were just like you just saw from Misiak. Same type of player, same type of play, and just trying to show guys that, listen, fellas, it's the fight and the dog, not the dog and the fight. And he has that tenacity in him to, you know, remember the goal he got last year, against Northern in the championship game. Tremendous goal in traffic. He's in there, whack, 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 and it goes in. And then after that, Reitmeier, the same type of goal, whack, whack, and it goes in around the net. And those were the two goals we got in the 2-0 shutout. You're trying to remember it. I see your eyes.
Well, I thought, right, I didn't want to correct you. I think Reitmeier scored the goal, right? And then the empty net was Lesperance. You're talking about the championship game?
Yeah. Okay. I might be wrong on that. Okay.
But I know what goal you're
talking about. But there was a goal like that against Northern.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know what goal you're talking about.
Okay. See, look, now you got me on one earlier. Now you gave me the Malcolm Gould goal. Now, good for us.
Yes, okay. But going back to Misiak's goal, what shouldn't be lost, I want to make sure we give credit to Alec Bretzman, who fell down in the corner, got back up, came out of there and made the play to
and
the
attacked
net. Attacked
the net.
Yeah,
he got into critical ice in a hurry, and that's what those guys, he's done that several times this year. If you look at all of his goals and all of his points, he's got a couple with range where he's picked up pucks on the rush, and he gets in. He's got a very heavy shot, and he'll get that shot off quick, and he scored on some rushes. But mostly it's just like that. It's winning a battle, taking it hard to the net, getting it into the paint area, and then it's hack and whack until it goes in the net.
Shots in the Saturday night game, 42 for Michigan Tech, so 42 each night. Giving up 22 on Saturday night to UAA. Jerusik made 21 saves. Chris Carlson made 39 saves. We didn't dominate the faceoffs quite as much as we did Friday night. 35 was still very impressive. 35 wins, 25 losses. Alex Smith leading the way for the Huskies. 12 wins, 7 losses. Marcus Russell, I mean, had some great opportunities all weekend and was solid on draws, 8-4 on Saturday night.
Yep, great contributions by all those guys.
All right, we'll take a break. We've got a lot more to talk about. We'll talk a little bit about the other games that went on and how the standings are shaping up and see how much Coach wants to actually talk about the standings. It's all part of the Joe Schaan Hour. Hey, you got a question for Coach? Email it in, dj@themix93.com. The Joe Schaan Hour continues after these.
I like my burger with mustard.
No, mustard and ketchup.
And a Coke.
Got to be well done.
Only medium rare, come on.
I only want grass-fed beef.
No, Angus.
On the grill.
No, flat top.
You want a homemade veggie burger?
With a Coca-Cola.
Iceberg lettuce.
No way.
Avocado, dude.
Arugula.
Nah, jalapeno.
Can I have a turkey burger?
But
Turkeys are for Thanksgiving, man.
Burger with a Coke.
Brioche. No, sesame seed.
Just a regular bun.
American cheese. Nah, man, you gotta go with Swiss.
No, cheddar.
Gotta use both hands.
No, one hand.
And wash it down with a Coke. My burger is best with a Coke.
Every burger needs a Coke.
Coke and a burger.
An ice cold Coke.
I'll agree to that.
A burger and a Coke.
Mealtime can lead to a lot of debates. Sure, we may disagree on what makes the perfect meal, but the one thing we can agree on is that it will always taste better with an ice-cold, refreshing Coke. So before your next meal, be sure to head to your local grocery store for everything you need to make mealtime right. Serve with a Coca-Cola.
Super savings at your favorite party store of the North, Bucko's Party Store, and they do have it all. All 6-pack 12-ounce canned beer is on sale all month long. All 2 liters are 2 for $3. Canada Dry brand 1 liters are 99 cents. Need a deal for parties and meals? Bucko's has Mix and Match Red Baron and Jack's Original Pizzas on sale 3 for $11. Stay warm with Keweenaw Alpaca Gear, all on 5th Street in Calumet. All this and more at Bucko's, your one-stop shop and vape headquarters of the North. All sales do not include taxes and deposits at Bucko's Party Store of Calumet.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingan knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Hi, this is Julie from the Reliance Agency. Much like the weather, your life could change at the drop of a hat. Don't be caught unprepared. You don't know what will happen tomorrow, but no matter what happens, you can make sure your loved ones are provided for with a life insurance policy from Auto Owners Insurance. Meet with a local independent agent and secure a policy now to rest easy, knowing you're protecting the ones you love. Visit the Reliance Agency in downtown Lawns today or call us at 906-524-6330.
Not only the Joe Schott Hour today, but also keeping you updated on all of the weather-related announcements. We just got another closing in. Baraga County Federal Credit Union will be closed all day today. Baraga County Federal Credit Union closed all day today. And again, we'll get our complete list on for you later on this morning here on Mix 93. But right now, let's talk about the other games that went on. Coach, the biggest upset over the weekend was undoubtedly Alaska pulling off a 1-0 victory over Minnesota State on Saturday night. Shots were, I think, 32-22 in favor of the Mavericks, but a big win for the Nanooks there at home.
Yeah, nothing game. A something game for Mankato. I'm sure their staff isn't thrilled about it. They won the championship, the league championship on
Friday.
Friday. Congratulations to them. I had a good conversation with them on Saturday. They just do a tremendous job, class of the league, and they probably just let their foot off the gas enough to give Fairbanks confidence in the game, and Fairbanks got some belief, probably obviously got some good goaltending. But the only thing that even impacted was potentially the seeding. Mankato is trying to battle for a number one seed in a region. So that's what that impacted. But as far as the league, it doesn't impact Fairbanks at all. It doesn't impact Mankato at all.
A split over the weekend between two teams that are battling for the final playoff spot, and that would be Huntsville and Ferris. Huntsville winning 2-0 on Friday night. Ferris coming back with a solid 5-2 victory on Saturday.
Yeah, that was a big deal. That Ferris needed that sweep to really put themselves. Now they need some help to put themselves in the driver's seat, but they still have life. They have to go in and they need some help from Bowling Green, which they'll probably get some help from Bowling Green in some capacity. But then they need they also need to win at Lake Superior. Lake Superior is, as we saw, a good hockey team. They seem to play us really, really strong.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure that they've seen our best yet either. So and they may. They may at some point this year get a chance to see us again. And we're hoping that at some point we get a chance to see a couple of these teams that are ahead of us.
Definitely. I was definitely surprised that, not real surprised, but surprised that Northern was able to take both games against Lake State at the Berry Event Center. Mind you, 4-2 on Friday night was the final and 5-3 on Saturday night. I didn't look at a whole lot of highlights from that, but seemed like a well-played game between both teams.
Yeah, big ice. Mm-hmm. I think the difference in that, I think Lake Superior is built for the smaller ice. They grind, they get on you. I wouldn't say that team speed is their strength, but puck possession is their strength. I watched part of that game, and they played the last 4 minutes without the goalie in the net, and I don't believe they gave up an empty net goal at the end of the game on Saturday night. If they did, it was one at the very end. But they maintained the puck and Tolvanen made several absolutely tremendous saves. But they're a big, strong puck possession type of a team, with Kugliad and those guys and Nellis. They do have some, Gelsinger has some speed and things like that, but it was a good series. Northern's a good hockey team. They're a good hockey team with some dynamic players in the right positions. I saw Denver Pierce, a good friend of mine, and I went to school with his father, got a couple goals in that game. I believe, got the other two, the number nine there, got the other two, not Laughlin, but the other good player for Northern got two. So, but good hockey team, good, Tolvanen, whenever he's good, they're going to have a chance to win, and he's good most of the time.
Yeah, Pierce with two, Loggins with two.
Loggins, yeah.
And
tremendous players. Rockwood, tremendous players. Blue on defense, not having the year he had a year ago points-wise, but still, an All-American-type player, tremendous hockey player.
And your thought on the Bemidji State hosting a Bowling Green series, Coach?
Grind hockey right there. Grind hockey with two teams that are going to, they're going to grind it out. It's Bowling Green, good for them, on the deal that they did. And fun hockey. The second game was an overtime game, right? I don't know if it went to a shootout or if they won in 3-3.
Bowling Green won, I think, in a shootout.
And it went to the, to the second overtime at least on that. So good hockey. I think there's potential for upsets in the first round of our playoffs this year. Alaska is certainly capable of surprising somebody. Obviously, I think that we have the capabilities of doing that as well. If we aren't able to get home ice, we'll be a lower seed with a chance to do that. I think Bemidji, if they don't get home ice somehow this weekend, has a chance to do that as well. So I don't think there's a huge difference. Probably from, let's say, 2-7. But over time, I think everybody is right where they should be as far as how I would rank the teams.
It was the 3-3 overtime that they won it. It doesn't say who scored it here, but, so Bowling Green wins it in the 3-on-3 WCHA extra point overtime. All right, as we take a look at the, standings, Coach, we are in sixth place still. And you look at Minnesota State has run away with it. They will not be caught. Bowling Green is in second right now with 52 points, 2 points ahead of Northern Michigan, who's in third with 50. And Lake State is in the final home playoff spot right now with 47 points. Bemidji State, two behind them. We are at 43 points, two behind Bemidji State and four behind Lake State. Now, we play Northern this weekend. We cannot catch the Wildcats anymore. A lot of people still asking me that. We cannot catch the Wildcats. 6 points up for grabs. They are 7 points ahead of us, but still a lot of movement can be done in the WCHA standings.
Yeah, and Friday night will dictate a lot. What our goal is to still be alive going into Saturday. And then put ourselves in a position on Saturday to have to do a great job. And again, as much as anything for me to see how we play, with that type of, I won't say pressure, but with that type of opportunity on the line, you're looking again, our goal is always, to get better and to play our best when our best is needed. That's a sign of a great hockey team. Or a good hockey team. And that's what we're looking to be. We want to be a team that's trending in the right direction and playing our best hockey when our best hockey is needed.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll take a quick timeout and be back with some of your questions as we get moving along here on the Joe Sean Hour. If you got a question for Coach Sean, you can still email it in, dj@themix93.com.
Hey there, Husky fans. This is Sully from the Campus Store. The Michigan Tech Campus Store is located in the Memorial Union Building on the Michigan Tech Campus.
and University Images is located in the Student Development Complex at the top of McGinnis Drive. They are your official headquarters for all your favorite Michigan Tech apparel and souvenirs. Plus, you can ship your packages directly from either store for out-of-town friends and family. Stop by the Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images, where the public is always welcome. Or shop online at bookstore.mtu.edu for all your Michigan Tech Huskies apparel and souvenirs.
Taco, Taco Man. You know I got to be a Taco Man. I said Taco, Taco Man, yeah.
You can be a Taco Man at Joey's Seafood and Grill in downtown Houghton with their fish tacos starting at $2.99. And in minutes, you can be a Taco, Taco Man too at Joey's Seafood and Grill, where it's easy to be a Taco Man.
Think about your home. What do you see? Do you just see two stories or the stories of your toddler's first steps? Now think about your car. Do you see an odometer reading or your kids reading in the back seat? Other insurance companies just see a house. They just see a car. But a State Farm agent sees what your home and your car really mean to you. So why not give them the protection they deserve?
Call me, Kelly Jepson, at my State Farm agency in Houghton at 482-1210.
It's almost Bush O'Clock, a time for relaxing and unwinding with a crisp, cold Bush beer. It's the most refreshing time of the day. Wait for it. 3, 2, 1.
Bush.
Crisp, cold Bush. Enjoy it responsibly. Bush Beer. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Dreaming up the ideal retirement is your job. Helping you get there is ours. That's why we encourage you to contribute to an Edward Jones IRA by April 15th. By investing in an Edward Jones IRA, you can take advantage of potential tax benefits for 2018. To help make sense of your retirement goals before the April 15th tax deadline, contact me, John Nelson, your local Edward Jones financial advisor, at 482-8680. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
Back to the Joe Schott Hour exclusively on Mix 93 WKMJ. As we get to some of your questions today, you still have time to get a question in. DJ at the Mix93.com if you're listening on Monday morning live here on Mix 93. Well, here's a very interesting question, Coach, that I didn't get a chance to preview with you yet. But when looking at your players, when talking and listening to your players, who do you think they play for? That's what this wow. listener's asking. You know, whether being in games, practicing, busting their butts, wherever, are they playing for their family, the Tech students, the alumni base, coaches, past or present, pro scouts in the stands, others? Do you get a feel about who these guys are playing for?
Yeah, I get a feel. Wow, what a question. That, that question right there, and it's not like I don't have an answer. What I want to do is not get in trouble with my answer. Here's where Joe Schott this year, I'll give you this will sum up everything for me. Where I feel that I needed to do a better job, where I misjudged our group for sure. I felt after last year, I'm completely a culture guy. I think you feed the culture, with the right food. What you put in, you get out. And I'm talking about as far as culture, and I think it's about feeding the culture. I say that to our guys all the time, feed the culture. Our motives, I felt our motives last year. I felt knowing we had a young group, I thought we were going to be fine because I thought, and I'm, this is not pointing the finger, doing anything, but those people who have had taken issue with anything I've said this year, if we'd lost our players, if our negativism or whatever that people feel, if we'd have lost our players, they wouldn't still be playing and growing and getting and playing as hard as they are. They're playing hard. They're getting better. That's why I thought Lake State was a setback, because I thought there was a great opportunity there to take another step. But we've been growing and growing and growing and growing. Our players know how we care about them. And I think we're sending, as a complete staff, and I'm talking everybody within our group, from Nate Larson, our trainer, to Tyler Schlass, our strength guy, to the assistant coaches, to our equipment managers, everybody sends the right message of doing things service-oriented, doing things for others. when you feed, and I'm not going to say selfish, but when you feed your culture, and I'm going to take a look at the time here. When you feed your culture, and that's what this person's getting at, why, what they're playing for. If they aren't playing for each other, if they aren't playing for love, if they aren't trying to do everything they can in whatever they do, and this is the talk I have with guys. Why do you do, I ask the same question. Why are you doing this? Like, what do you do? Because whatever you do, your obligation, how you were, what you were created for, whether it be by your parents, however you want to look at it, your obligation, your heart needs to be in doing that the best. You do this the best. People love your show. They tune you in every day. Your heart is into it. It's evident. I go watch you play music. I love to listen to you. I can see the passion, the drive. I can see that. You do the sacrifices you make for your family and work, the things that you and I have talked about in the past. Your passion, whatever you do, you're the best at. And I'm not demeaning any profession. If you're a senator, let's keep politics off it. I don't care what you do. You're CEO of a company. Do it great. You're the low end of that company. And I don't know what the low end is. I don't want to disregard anybody or disrespect anybody, but whatever it is, you do it the best you can. But more importantly, you impact others around you with your enthusiasm and with your love and passion for life. When you're feeding that the opposite way and everybody, and you're doing it for bonuses and you're doing it for handouts and you're doing it for this and you're doing it for advancement, you're not feeding, in my opinion, the culture the right way. Where Joe Sean has failed this year is in overestimating, I believe, and this is what I've shared with the team as well, what the strength of our culture. Because our culture is, we've always said that. That's been what it is. And when we talk about things like the past, you know, guys that went from a four win season to those same group of guys driving the train that went to number one in the country, there's a reason for that. They went through the pain of it, and their character and their culture changed the program. And we talk about our guys now, and when I say, I'll give you another example. Last year, how much we talked about, it's their time now. It's Baltus's time now. It's Les Brontë's time now. Other guys have handed that torch off to them to lead the group in the right way. And then they did it. You know what I mean? And what I didn't mean by them scoring goals, what I meant is by them driving the culture and doing it for others and sending the right messages, which they did. And they played for the group and they led the group. Brent Baltus was here this weekend. It was phenomenal to see him. And he's, you know, he says, I listen to your show all the time. I use it in work. It still impacts me. It's, you know, absolutely phenomenal young man. Not because he said that, but because that's what he is. He'll do the best at whatever he does. Why they play is what we're trying. Why they exist is what we're trying to get across to them, because that will impact their life. If motives are selfish, if that's what goes in, and by selfish I mean self-motivated, I need this, I need that, I expect this, I expect that, you need to do this for me, you need to do that for me. If that's the way it is, especially leadership, that's what's going filtering through the team. And so often I sit with a player and I get, and I just, it breaks my heart when you hear them talk, me, I. And then, especially if they're in a leadership position, the way I look at it is you got that iceberg and you see that the tip of the iceberg, and beautiful and majestic, and that's the tip of the iceberg, but there's 90% of that iceberg, that 10% is above the water, 90% is below. If somebody comes in, especially in a leadership role, and it's me, I, I need to do this, you need to do this for me, If they're willing enough with the culture that they know what's in our heart as a staff and as an organization, if they have the courage to come in and have that talk with me, well, what the heck is going on the 90% below? That's where my frustration has come in this year. Letting them know, hey, I still love you, but I don't think your priorities, until you align who you are and what you are, you're not always going to be a hockey player. But you always have the chance to be the best you can and impact others. And if hockey happens to be part of it, and if that's the major plan for your life, then get yourself aligned to be the best you can. Look at Russell and Misiak and Bryce and those guys. Like I said in the bench the other day, they drew a penalty with shift after shift after shift of grinding down Anchorage. Then they draw a penalty, and I believe it was on Jackson's goal, the winning goal on Friday night. They drew the penalty, and so everybody's out celebrating doing that, and I said, fellas, let's remember who drew that power play. Let's remember the effort you got. These are the heroes. They're not going to get their name in the paper. They're not going to get the glory for it. And they're the ones that did it. Jacko's going to get the glory. Donahue for making the pass is going to get the glory. The power play is going to get the glory. The guys who made that happen are the character drivers that I praise every single day on this show, every single day in the locker room. Those are the guys that you don't say be like them, but you reward them. You feed that culture. They are the culture. And you try. And then when I say at the beginning of this show, on board, where I felt on board, because the point is getting through to guys that we aren't going to play you if you're not, like, we're at the stage of the year now. We're at the stage of our program where, and with me, it's not about winning and losing. It's about culture. And you either get on or you get off. You know what I mean? Like, we have to get the right guys on the bus. And then over time, get them in the right seat. And where I say before, we've lost a lot of time this year in development because we fought that. So this question is a dear one to my heart, because where Joe Sean has failed and where people are right, I think this team is better than their record. Now, people in the country don't, people in our league don't, but I share what those people feel. And that's where everything about me is about what this question is about. And when we get everybody headed in that direction, which is always, in my opinion, been my strength, why people have, I've been fortunate enough that people have allowed me to be part of their programs, because I bring that belief, I think. So I don't contribute to the problem. I'm not going to say that I'm the reason for success, but I don't contribute to the problem. You know what I mean? And do other things maybe that helps.
Absolutely. All right. More questions coming your way in just a moment. It's more of the Joe Sean Hour after this.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingan knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game-changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Got the fender bender blues, people stop and stare. You need advanced tech body repair. Your car's looking new, it's a beautiful sight. Advanced tech gets the job done right. Clean, friendly service without
The Kaliva Cafe on Quincy Street in Hancock has been serving great food for generations, 7 days a week with home-style service and huge portions. They have a tasty menu for everyone with all homemade food, including daily specials, pasties, soups, hot and cold sandwiches, Italian cuisine, pizzas and salads, and breakfast all day. Enjoy a Sunday turkey dinner with all the trimmings for just $10.95. The Kaliva Cafe opens 7 to 9, Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 8 till 9.
When you need to find a part at a price that's right, that red and blue sign is just within sight. Roll in to CarQuest and roll on.
Stock up on 5-gallon buckets of CarQuest hydraulic fluid, now only $49.99 each at Harder's CarQuest in Calumet through March 27th.
When you want some help from a fellow car lover, it's all in one place as you'll discover. Roll in to CarQuest and roll on.
Hello, business owners. This is Mike Mikola
and Jeff Mickish from the Turvo Agency. Do you wish your business insurance plan was simple and easy to understand?
With our team's more than 50 years of combined experience in the insurance business, we have developed ways to simplify the process for you.
Stop in to see us at 230 Quincy Street in downtown Hancock or give us a call at 482-0080 to set up an appointment.
Turvo, insurance simplified.
Welcome back to the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93, reminding everybody in our Houghton, Hancock, Copper Country area to check your furnace vents today, if you haven't already, to make sure that is cleared and no problems there. Another question for Coach. Growing up, Coach, we had a rule about penalty shots, breakaways. You can only deke if you're Russian, Finnish, or Gretzky. If you're not one of those three, then you have to shoot. Given the two straight weekends of fails by our top skilled players on penalty shots slash breakaways, is there any chance of bringing that rule back?
Well, I think that the Swedes in the community have a little bit of a resentment for that comment. No, hockey players are hockey players. They got to figure out. We do shootouts all the time. They do them even more than we have them do them for fun. So, you either put it in or you don't. Guys, you know, you saw Jacko put it in. Other guys, you know, you see what you see.
Next question is more of a compliment to Raymond Bryce, who helped out on the broadcast on Saturday night. Said that this listener saying that he did a great job and gave some good insight from his perspective about the game out there. And this listener is wishing you and the Huskies the best of luck this weekend, and still has confident that we could get a home ice spot. So
yeah, I wouldn't. It doesn't surprise me at all that Ray would represent himself. He's passionate about the community. He's passionate about, did you see his tweet yesterday?
No.
He put a tweet out yesterday that, and I won't read it, but basically what it was a guy did his driveway. He saw this guy do his driveway. His driveway was completely clean. The plow went by right when he was done standing outside. He flipped off he said, I saw this guy, made my day. I saw this guy flip off the plow driver. So I tweeted back to him and I said, and then you helped the guy, Ray, didn't you? Redo his driveway. You know, then you got out and helped the guy redo. But it was absolutely hilarious.
Next question is, Coach, how is Bliss? We saw him go down and gingerly get off the ice after taking a shot in that game Saturday night.
He was smiling after the game, so, you know, a lot of that old story. You hear that story? I'm going to check my time again. You look at that story in the book. It's in Gretzky's biography. You and I may have talked about this before. They're playing the Islanders. The Islanders beat them in the playoffs before the Oilers dynasty started. And Kevin Lowe and Wayne Gretzky are walking by the Islanders locker room, hearing all the hooping and hollering and the celebration going on, and they're thinking, you know, okay, these guys are going to be just whooping it up. And what they saw when they looked in there is wives having fun and other people having fun and the players with ice bags on them and hot tubs and cold tubs and getting treated and getting stitched and getting that. And Gretzky and Lowe talked to each other and said, that's why they won, because they're walking out feeling fine. They just got swept by the Islanders, and the Islanders are completely beat up. You know what I mean? They paid the price.
Yep. Next question for Coach is, this caller wants to know if Anchorage made it out of here.
You know what? My wife asked me that last night, and I should have called them, and nothing I could do. I couldn't even get out, really, to have them over for dinner, have the coaches over for dinner, but I don't know if they did or if they didn't.
I want to remind everybody about the Blue Line Club Senior Salute Brunch on March 3rd, which is this coming Sunday. And remember, it's blueline@mtu.edu. You need to reserve by this Wednesday. And if you're interested in attending, now the cost is $15, and all the seniors will be honored and recognized. Keegan Ford, Jake Jackson, Devin Carroll, Jake Lucchini, Dylan Stamen will all be honored on the ice as well on Friday night during the Northern Michigan game that is coming up this weekend.
Yeah. My wife wants me to say thank you to Dr. Olson Veterinary. We had a little crisis over the weekend with one of our dogs, a dog story, and he went above and beyond and actually brought some medication over to the house, dropped it off at the house. So thank you to Dr. Olson. My life, it's done now, but, now, and one more thing on that last question, because whoever that guy was that asked that question about what do they play for, another thing, and I'm not going to get in trouble. First of all, if you got issues with it, feel free to send me an email on anything I say. Let me know how you know, if you have an issue, because I got big shoulders, I can take it. I rather hear it that way than secondhand stuff. But here's the deal with it. As a coach, you there's certain ways that you can try to instill that culture. People get upset because I'm going to explain it why now. Where I say we have to get their hearts, because you know it came back to me secondhand that how does coach expect to get their hearts if he's negative with them all the time? There's a difference, Dirk, between being negative and accountable. There's a big difference between holding people accountable and being negative. And that's why I always say, I don't think Ray Bryce, Justin Misiak, Tyler Rockwell, Seamus Donahue, go down the list, Hallinen, you know, these guys, I don't think that they feel any issues. I think the guy, there's certain guys that do feel issues because it's because we're battling. And this is what we're battling, and it was a great question. We're trying to get everybody on the same page to play for each other. We're trying to get their hearts. You can motivate people. You can lead people with punishment, right? Mm-hmm. You can punish them, which is going to have a short gain. And that's where people are thinking that we totally punish. Maybe people are thinking that. They wouldn't play this hard. They'd give up if that was the case. We can do it with total reward. You can give people things. Our leaders are doing it all the time. They're giving, 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 giving. What more could you give me? At some point, you're not going to be able to give them enough, and they're going to turn on you. You have to get their hearts. That's the only thing that's lasting. And how does Joe Sean expect to get their hearts? He expects to get their hearts by the people knowing that they're going to get everybody's going to be treated the same. Everybody's going to be held to the same standard. And the guys are going to have a hard time. I've said this forever with me. When they look in the mirror, hopefully they see themselves. If there's an issue with our relationship, is it, let's get to the bottom of that issue. And I will guarantee you it's going to be completely culture related because to me, team comes first. Team. And that's why I love Belichick. Team comes first.
Coach, big game on Friday night at home, big game on Saturday night down at the Barry Event Center to finish off the regular season. Thanks for your time today. Great insight, and we can't wait for the games this weekend.
Great. Thanks, and thanks to the road crews. Keep it up, guys. Love you guys.